Nice to see everyone here this morning. A warm welcome, each and every one of you. Special welcome to anyone visiting our church today. It's good to see everyone. It's good to be in the house of the Lord on the Lord's Day. And each of us will be richly blessed by being here. Did you see those mountains shining this morning as you were coming to church? Wasn't that beautiful? Absolutely lovely. We are reminded of the glory of God. This is our Father's world. And He blesses us by being part of it. And He reminds us of His presence by the beauty of everything that He has created. Harold and I would like to... back from our recent fishing trip.
Yeah. Thought I was going to drown.
We had a good evening last night. I think everyone who was here enjoyed themselves, and it was very rewarding for us to be part of the entertainment for the community. And again, another big thank you to Pat for putting that production on. It was just great to be part of, and people seem to like it. Harold, over to you.
Thanks, Russ. As you can see, we are both suffering from multiple personality disorders. I woke up this morning saying my lines again and go, what are you doing? No, we did have a lot of fun, and I want to thank everybody who came last night and brought the desserts, and there's a lot left. So I'm sure that there'll be some more left after church today. And a big thank you to Pat, who directed and produced the play, and hopefully we entertained you. It was a lot of fun doing it. And we raised, I think it was about $650, I think was the final count last night. So a lot of very generous people in this community. Next Sunday is the church anniversary, and we'll be celebrating communion there as well. And we'll be also welcoming into office all who have been elected to serve on committees in the church, and we'll also be welcoming new members. And if you are ready to declare your commitment to the church by becoming a member, you can speak to Ian or to one of the elders about that. Shrove Tuesday Pancake Supper on February 21st, and that goes from 5 to 7. Ash Wednesday on the 22nd, service starts at 7, and we will be having communion that evening as well. And the Fellowship Day of Prayer, and I'll be calling Kathy up shortly to talk about some things that is hosted by the Cremona United Church. I also want to thank, I forgot, there was a lot of people that stayed last night to help clean up, and I really want to thank all those people. I know Barb and Bill were here for quite a long time getting that kitchen cleaned up. We had youth kids here, and there was a lot of people that helped out, so it's thank you very much for doing that. Another announcement, on March the 10th, I don't know if you remember way back in August and going through the Wild Pink Yonder, and this town, along with Water Valley, became the pinkest little town in the West for the total amount of money that we raised. And so there's a celebration that will go on for that, for being able to do that. And that is going to go on March the 10th. And Blake Reed's band, Livestock, will be playing that night. And they were so good the night that we had on August 22nd that we did that. And if you are interested in tickets, Vicky, Barb, and Diane Howes will be having tickets. They're not quite printed yet, but you can speak to them if you're interested in coming that evening. Kathy, do you have an announcement?
Just to expand a bit on the day of prayer, it's on Friday, March the 2nd. That's what it says there, isn't it? At the United Church. And each year we gather all the churches in the community, the three in Cremona and Bethel. We gather in one location, alternating around the churches, and we celebrate the World Day of Prayer in different ways. But this year they're using the bulletin from the Day of Prayer. It's very good, and it was written by the Prayer Committee of Malaysia. The United Church ladies have asked our group to read just a few lines from some prayers that are written in here. And when we had our little meeting the other day, a number were missing, but we found that everybody there was either not going to be in the area on that day or couldn't come for some other reason. So I just want to expand this to the congregation. This is a very lovely afternoon, and invite anybody that would like to come to keep it in mind and put it on your calendar. And if you would like to participate in the reading, please come and talk to me afterwards, and I can show you what's here and give you a copy or make a copy. But it is a very worthwhile afternoon, and so I encourage all of the ladies to make an effort to come to the Day of Prayer. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. Are there any other announcements?
Just on behalf of everybody that was here last night, I'd like to thank all the actors. It was a tremendous gift they gave us, the actors and the instigator and everybody else that helped in getting it organized. It was a wonderful performance. We all laughed till our sides hurt. So thanks very much, you guys. It was wonderful.
Thanks, Bill. There was a lot of laughter going back there as well between scenes. And I think and I through the weeks and that we practiced, I don't think there was a single night or a single time that we went back. There's every time we heard the lines, we were always killing ourselves laughing with that one. So thank you for that. We enjoyed it. Any other announcements? Thank you.
I just want to say a thank you to our friends who have redone our picture board in the hallway there. If you didn't get to see it when you came in this morning, go and have a look at it. It's great. All the pictures from the last directory that we had, and who's this sneaking up on me here?
Wilma was going to give a little announcement about it, but I didn't see her up here. It's a work in progress. We're still waiting for the name labels to be on, and we're waiting for a few pictures from some we missed. So it'll be completed one of these days.
And when you take a look at the picture board, have a look at the new family that's joined the church in the bottom right-hand corner of the board out there. Just take a peek afterwards. We worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We come now before his presence in silence. Psalm 84, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. As the worship team are smoothly running here, we'll leave up to them. Thank you.
Okay, if you stand and join us this morning, we're going to start out with 180 in the red book, I Will Call Upon the Lord. And this is a round. So, right, Ian, you're on my side. Dan and everybody else there is on the ladies' side. So the ladies are going to lead. You guys follow the ladies. Except for you, Dan. You're all men. So you guys are going to lead with the ladies. We're going to echo with us. See how this goes.
I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
Who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock and name, and God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock and name, and God of my salvation be exalted. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The Lord liveth, and blessed be the rock and name.
We're going to continue with Open the Eyes of My Heart, and this will be up on the screen.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
And we'll prepare our hearts for worship this morning with In Christ Alone.
Thanks to the worship team for our approach choruses into worship this morning. And if you're wondering, why is Pat Pilate sitting over there and not up here? Well, Pat actually went through a ruptured appendix. And she was in hospital for a while. And we praise the Lord that she's back here in church recovering. And we continue to pray for her in her recovery. And we're delighted to see you here, Pat. God bless you. Good to see you here. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious and loving Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you that each and every one of us has been able to come here today, to come together, to join in fellowship, to come into this rich fellowship, to come into the place, Lord, where we know that we are just surrounded by our friends in Christ, and we are above all surrounded and enveloped by your great love for us. We thank you, Father. We thank you that each of us has heard your voice as you have drawn us and called us to come here this day. And as we are here, Lord, we pray once again that we may hear your voice. We know, Lord, that we are here for a purpose. We know, Lord, that you have something to say to each and every one of us. So we ask you, Father, open our hearts, open our minds, and speak to each and every one of us. And we come to you this day, Father, to worship you, because our hearts and our lives are overflowing with the blessings that you shower down upon us. We come to worship you, Lord, because you are our Lord, you are our Father, you are our God. And so we pray, gracious Father, that you will accept the praise we bring. For we come in the name of Jesus, and we worship you, and we pray as Jesus taught us to pray. As we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Our Old Testament reading is from 2 Kings chapter 5, verses 1 to 14. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a message to say to him, "Go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. And our responsive reading is from Psalm 30, verses 4 to 8. Sing the praises of the Lord, you his faithful people. Praise his holy name.
For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning.
When I felt secure, I said, "I will never be shaken."
Lord, when you favored me, you made my royal mount to stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed.
To you, Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy.
Hear, Lord, and be merciful to me. Lord, be my help.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be.
Now, once again, we are more than happy to hear our special music this morning presented to us by our worship team. Thank you.
So given that Valentine's Day is coming up, we figured we'd do love as a theme of our special music, so it's The Power of Your Love. Beautiful. Big thank you to our worship team. That was lovely. And you'll have noticed that Howard stood in the center here on his own, and his co-partner on the guitar was missing. Sandra Helm wasn't here. I've just got a little bit to tell you about the situation with Sandra. You know, last weekend we did the wedding for Sandra's daughter, and just prior to that, Sandra's father was in hospital, and he has cancer of the esophagus, and he was bleeding badly, and the prognosis wasn't good, and we were all praying for him. Got an email from Sandra during the week, and she says, you might not believe this, but she says, my dad's on his way home. Isn't that great? Isn't that fantastic? So keep thinking about Sandra and the family. Think about her dad and her mom, and keep praying for them, because prayer is a very, very powerful healing tool that we have, that the Lord has given to us. And now your gifts for the work of God in this church and throughout the world will now be received. Thank you. Thank you.
here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Gracious Lord, Heavenly Father, we are ever thankful for your goodness to us. And so we come to you now, Lord, once again. We say thank you, and we bring before you these, our gifts. We ask you, Lord, to accept these gifts. We ask you, Lord, to accept the givers, for we dedicate them all to the extension of your kingdom here on earth. For Jesus' sake, amen. Thank you. The children would like to come and join me, please. Hurry up, or all the best seats will be gone. I'm going to ask you a question, and the answer to this question has already been given to you because David mentioned it a little bit earlier when he introduced the music that the worship team was singing, okay? So on this coming Tuesday, the date will be February the 14th. What day is that? Everybody, one, two, three, and then you shout it out. One, two, three.
Valentine's!
Yay! Valentine's Day. What happens on Valentine's Day?
We give cards.
We give cards. Yeah, why do we give cards?
Because it's nice.
Because it's nice. And what do those cards say? Yeah, but it's something you tell someone, didn't you? Sophie said you tell people that you love them. It says, be my Valentine, and it says, wait a bit, I've got one here, let's see what it says. Isn't that nice? Who gets that? Well, who do you think I should give this to?
God.
Well, that's hard. I've got to give it to someone who's here. Well, they're not here today, but there's your clue. Who do you think I should give it to? Don't get me into trouble here. Who do you think I should give it to? To me? Well, I can't give it to me. What does it say inside? It says, I love you. Can't say that to me, can I? Come on, who should I give it to? Somebody that I like. Who do you think I like? I don't know. I'm in trouble. Tell us, Julia. Yay! We tell people that we love them. We give them a card. And if I want to stay in Iris's good books, I've got to give this to her. If I give it to somebody else, I'll be in trouble. Oh, yes, I will. Oh, yes, I will. Okay, so we tell people, I love you. Now then, do you think God has ever sent you a Valentine card?
Yes, all the time.
All the time. How does God send you a Valentine card? How does God tell you he loves you?
By saying it.
By saying it, yes. Yes, but he actually sent us a Valentine card. And that was called... Who did Jesus send? Yes! Jesus was God's Valentine card. God sent his son Jesus to tell all of us that I love you. That's right. God came himself in Jesus. This Jesus is God the Son. So Jesus sent us God sent us a Valentine card in Jesus just to say to you, I love you. And that's why Jesus came. So let's say a little prayer of thanks for that. Lord God our Father, we thank you that you just love us so much that you sent Jesus, and Jesus tells us, I love you. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you so much. Amen. Over to you, Kathy. Thanks to Kathy, and that was a good little message there. Love is something, when you give it away, you end up having more. Great message. We stand and we sing to the glory of God. The hymn number 87, we sing four verses of May Jesus Christ Be Praised. Frequently during his ministry, Jesus disappeared from the crowds and he went off to find solitary places to pray. And that is so significant, that Jesus the Son had the great need in his life to pray to God the Father. And I think if Jesus needed prayer, then wow, do we ever need prayer. And God's ear is always open to every prayer that we offer. Let us bow our heads and join together in prayer. Almighty God, our wonderful and gracious Father, we are thankful for the knowledge that you love us. No gift of yours could be greater than the gift of your Son, our Lord and Saviour Jesus. Through him, Lord, you have revealed your love to us, and you grant to us the means of salvation. And so we come to you now, Lord, as the leper came to you, longing to be made clean, longing for healing, longing to be fully reconciled with you and with one another. We seek your peace and your assurance, and we ask, Lord, that you touch us, each and every one, that each of us may be made whole. Loving Father, help us to proclaim in word and deed your healing and your cleansing love. Help us to see your image in the faces of those whom society often regards as outcasts. And help us, Father, in your name, to reach out to them. In your name, Lord, help us to recognize and embrace those who are lonely, those who live in fear or despair, those who believe that they are no longer worthy of the loving care and attention of other people. Grant us, Lord, the courage to speak your word to those who cause pain, to those who reject, and to those who seek only their own well-being. Lord, touch our world again and make it whole. And so, Lord, we seek cleansing and healing, not only for ourselves, but especially for those whom you have placed upon our hearts to care for, to care about, to worry about. And hear, Lord, in the silence and in the beauty of your holiness, we whisper their names before your throne of grace. Gracious and holy Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy to us, and for the ways that you provide for us, for the spiritual nourishment we receive as we gather in this place as our church family. And so we ask you, Lord, to bless every home represented here. Grant your guidance and your protection to our families. And may we be faithful channels of your blessing to all whom we meet, as we seek, Lord, as we seek, Holy Father, to bring honor and glory to your holy name. Lord, touch our lives, hear our prayers, and we pray that you will accept the prayers and the worship that we bring to you this day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we listen now to the word of the Lord.
Good morning. The gospel this morning comes from Mark chapter 1. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. And the epistle is 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize.
Thanks to Vicky for those readings from the scriptures. And now we stand again and we sing to the glory of God the hymn 504, He Touched Me. Last night when we dismantled the setting for our play and we put all of our best furniture away, we kind of looked at the platform here and we all said the same, doesn't it look bare? Doesn't it look bare? And it's kind of the same right now when the worship team leave the platform and leave just me here, and I think, wow, I'm all on my own. Isn't this bare? Because we appreciate the worship team so much for what they contribute to our worship, and we thank them sincerely. Would you pray with me, please? And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. Mainly for our American friends, but of course also for many, many of us here in Canada. And I understand that over 110 million people tuned in to watch the game or the commercials on television. Sadly, most of those watching, including whole families with children of varying ages, will have had to witness an individual an individual desperate for publicity making an obscene gesture to the watching millions during the halftime show. Tonight on television is the Grammy Awards. And don't be surprised if one of these celebrities or wannabe celebrities does something or says something to try and grab the media attention. We live in a world which canonizes celebrity. And it no longer matters how much a person has accomplished or contributed to society. All you have to do to become famous in today's world is to keep yourself in front of the media, in front of the cameras. And so we have celebrities who have never really done anything, but who are good at keeping themselves in the media spotlight by their good or not so good antics. I guess they are just famous for being famous. But the one thing that they all have in common is that they all crave the spotlight. And sometimes they achieve this by their outrageous remarks or behavior. They outrage the common decency and offend as many people as possible. British journalist Malcolm Muggeridge wrote this. He said, in the past, if someone was famous or notorious, it was for something. As a writer, as an actor, or a criminal, for some talent, or a distinction, or an abomination. But today, one is famous for being famous. You will have noticed that these wannabe celebrities, when they walk out, they wear dark glasses so that no one can recognize them. I think when Harold made his way to church this morning, he wore dark glasses. But the one thing that Jesus did not want was to be a celebrity. And again, we see this in today's lectionary reading. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and he got down on his knees in front of Jesus and he said, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. And there are two versions of what took place next. The version that we are all familiar with tells us that Jesus was filled with compassion on this man, this leper. He was filled with compassion. But did you notice how the new version of the NIV Bible translated those words when we were up here? The NIV Bible translates it, Jesus was indignant. Jesus was indignant. Indignant means angry. Was Jesus angry with this leper? Does that really sound like the Jesus that we know? There are two words which, when translated from the Aramaic language, sound very familiar. Now, you must forgive my attempt at pronouncing these words. They'll be on the screen for you to see them. But one of them is splanchnisthes. That wasn't bad, was it? Splanchnisthes. And it means to be moved with compassion. But the other word is orgisthes. Orgisthes. And this one means to be moved with anger. Now, these two words to us don't look very much alike, and you could think, well, how could you confuse them? But apparently, when they are in the Aramaic language, they are very, very similar words. Now, the vast majority of Bible translations go with the moved with compassion translation, because that sounds more like the Jesus that we expect. But apparently, there are as many manuscripts around which indicate that Jesus' mood was one of anger as there are of those which indicate compassion. So we got the question, was Jesus annoyed or was he being compassionate? Look at the situation. In Jesus' day, every known skin disease was called leprosy. It might have been the measles, might have been the chicken pox, it might have been leprosy, or whatever. And every sufferer of any skin disease whatsoever became an outcast to society. They were forced to live apart from their homes, to live apart from their families. They must go and live with other lepers in huge pits located outside of the towns and the cities. They were not permitted to go anywhere near other people. And if they did come out of the pit, they had to go around crying out, "Unclean, unclean," everywhere that they went. A person who was suffering from nothing more than a simple itchy, dry skin would be labelled a leper and would probably eventually become a leper. We live in Alberta. You know, and if anybody who suffers from itchy, dry skin in Alberta, if I had to say, put your hand up, whoa, you're a leper. Wow. You know, and it amuses us because it's so stupid. But that's the way it was in Jesus' day. And these people were condemned to live in these pits with other lepers, people who were actually lepers. And of course, eventually, they would become lepers. They would contract the disease. And Jesus looked at this and he could see the unjustness of this situation. He could see the circumstances of these poor people. And he was annoyed and he was indignant that society was unjustly punishing people who suffered from nothing more than a simple disease. Stop scratching your hands. They'll put you in a pit. Hand cream, she says. So was Jesus annoyed? Or was Jesus being compassionate? And I guess the answer to that one is yes. Yes. The leper was aware of all the regulations regarding who he was and who he was not permitted to go near to, what he was and was not permitted to do in society. And yet this guy approaches Jesus. He comes up to Jesus. He wants to be healed. He believes that Jesus can heal him. And this is a very important point. He believes that Jesus can heal him. Modern doctors confirm that one of the keys to healing is the willpower of the individual. Those who believe that God is willing to heal them and are prepared to accept God's will in this whole matter, they have a much better chance of experiencing a miracle in their lives. Those who do not believe that God is willing to heal, they can die even when it is not medically necessary. Dr. Bernie Siegel, in his book Love, Medicine and Miracles, quotes many examples. And this doctor specializes in cancer surgery. And he has experienced many, many people who are fatalists when it comes to the disease of cancer. He says when they hear that they have it, they lock in on the idea that death is inevitable and that God is not willing to deviate from the statistics. An example from Dr. Siegel's book is a man called Irving. He was a financial advisor. And when he was told that he had 6 months to live from his liver cancer, he refused to think otherwise. He just accepted that as his sentence. And he went home and he died right on time. Right on time. And Dr. Siegel says that some 15 to 20% of his cancer patients, they do this. They believe that there is no other course for them. That's what's going to happen. But he says he has another 15 to 20% of his patients with the same kind of cancers who think otherwise. They refuse to believe that there is no willingness in God to heal them. They refuse to accept this. They think just the opposite. They believe that it is God's will to heal them. And that no matter how bad they are, or how grim the statistics may be, these people break all of the rules. And like that leper, many of them walk away clean from hopeless situations. The leper broke all the rules. He approached Jesus. And Jesus also broke the rules. He reached out his hand and he touched him. He touched him. And he says, I am willing. Be clean. I am willing. Jesus is willing to heal those who believe in him, those who believe in his healing power, and those who will accept whatever the outcome may be. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Notice what happens next. Jesus says, see that you don't tell this to anyone. See that you don't tell this to anyone. And Jesus told him to show himself to the priest that he might be declared clean. That's what the law of Moses declared that they should do. And the reason that Jesus told him to keep quiet is revealed in the next piece of text. Instead, he went out and he began to talk freely, spreading the news. Can you blame the guy? He's been cured of leprosy, living in that stinking pit. Can you blame him? And as a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. He could no longer enter a town openly because people would be all over him. They wanted his healing. They wanted to take away their demons. They wanted to get rid of their diseases. But his purpose, his mission from God the Father, was to deliver the good news about the kingdom of God. And this involved preaching. Preaching. And his success as a healer got in the way of his main and major mission, that of preaching the good news of the kingdom of God. This was his real mission. But this success as being a healer, it got in the way. And this is the reason why 9 times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus tells people to keep quiet about who he is or about what he's done for them. Remember when he performed the amazing miracle of raising Jairus' daughter? Then what does he do? He gives strict instructions. Do not tell anyone about this. Mark chapter 5. He healed a man who couldn't speak, who couldn't hear. And then he tells this man not to tell anyone. How could he not tell anyone? Wow! And then in Matthew 16 at Caesarea Philippi, the disciples declared their belief that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he orders his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Don't tell anyone. Following his transfiguration on the mount in Mark chapter 9, he again orders his disciples not to tell anyone what they had heard, what they had seen, until after his resurrection from the dead. The last thing that Jesus wanted to be was a celebrity. Unfortunately, celebrity came to him and ultimately here on earth killed him. The more the authorities heard about him, the more they feared him. This was the man who was going to take away from them the spotlight, the limelight, their popularity. He was going to take it away from them. He was a threat to all of their powers. And really, it would have been best for Jesus if he could have kept a low profile. But you know, Jesus is Jesus. And when anyone comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and reaches out to him, he reaches back to them and he says, come unto me and I will give you. I will give you. Come unto me. Jesus has power and authority over all of the powers that would control you or any part of your life. And all Jesus requires from you is your faith and your belief in him. A strong and sincere belief that God does want to heal you. God can heal you. And he requires an acceptance of God's will in all things, without question. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." And we accept his will in all things. Before his death and resurrection, Jesus did not want to be a celebrity. He became a reluctant celebrity because everybody talked about him, who he was and what he was. But today things are different. Jesus is happy for you and I to go out and talk about him. Talk about who he is, what he is, what he can do for you, how he can bring healing into your life, whatever kind of healing you need in your life. He is the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the whole world, the creator of the whole universe. Jesus can do it for you. Whatever you need him to do, he can do it. He is the Lord. He is the only physical and spiritual healer of people's lives. And it is his desire that for you all will be well. And for this we say thanks be to God. Amen. Just await the arrival of my team here. When you walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on his way. We stand and sing to God's glory the hymn 349, Trust and Obey.
Trust and obey. Trust.
He says we will do. Where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
312 to be God's people. To our play last night, our director's biggest worry, would you believe, was not we, the cast, but whether we would have enough desserts. The table last night was weighted down with desserts, and the fridge in the kitchen is now bulging with desserts, and by the time you leave here today, they all need to be eaten. So do your bit for the church. Eat the desserts. We'll get them out of the fridge, and everybody please feel free. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and be with all whom we love this day and forevermore. Amen.